6. He says, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul?" In other words, what good would it be if we feed, clothe, and help a human being and neglect their greatest need, their spiritual need, the need they have to hear and respond to the gospel? You see, loving others as God does leads us to do whatever necessary to see people reconciled to God, to see God make them whole. This is what happens when we truly love God wholeheartedly. We begin to desire what He desires, to love what He loves, to be involved in what He's involved in. True marks of those who follow Christ start with us being born of God. And through the new nature that we have, we begin to love God above all else. And we begin to love God's children as He loved us. But that heart of love for God is revealed in how we respond to Him. A follower of Christ seeks to obey God's will. Let's look at verses 2 and 3. "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome." This is our memory verse. It was our memory verse last week. It's going to be our memory verse this week and probably next week. This is the love of God. We keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. I want you to know what loving, if you want to know what loving God is all about and how you want to describe loving God, here it is in verse 3. True love for God will be revealed in your heart's desire to obey what He says. Just as Jesus told His followers, He said, "Hey, if you love me, you will keep my commandments." In John 14, 15. This is He says here. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. That this love for God and obedience to His words are marks of those who truly follow Christ. Loving God and obeying His commands are inseparable. If you say, "Yes, I love God," but you don't have a desire to obey Him or do what He says, then something is seriously wrong with your heart. The Bible makes it very clear. I think it's foggy or cloudy or gray. He makes it very clear. You cannot just follow Jesus based on your own terms. Like, this is what I think it means to follow Jesus. I think it's okay to do this and do that. I think it's okay not to be a part of the body. I think it's okay to do all of it. God's Word doesn't say that. See, our terms need to be His terms. It needs to line up with His Word. The Bible makes it very clear. But I love how Jesus followed up that statement about obeying His commands in John 14, 15 through 17. He says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever." See, as we've noted in Christ, a great change is taking place in us. And John says here, obeying His commands are not burdensome. In other words, God's moral law is not oppressive or crushing. It's not a terrible weight that we cannot bear. God's moral standard is high, but He gives us the grace and power to live by His standard, to seek righteousness, to live a holy life. Remember, Christ has given a new nature. God, the Holy Spirit, comes to live in us. The Helper, as He talks about there, resides in us, giving us new desires, new passions, new values. Because we love and value God above everything and everyone else, we now delight to listen to Him and obey Him. We're led by the Spirit. We're no longer under the law, as we learn in Galatians 5:18. He's working on changing our very nature because we know that nature determines appetite. If our nature's changed, our appetite will be changed. In Christ, we have the very nature of God within us. We do not need the law on the outside to control our appetites because we have a life of Christ living on the inside that's changed our very nature to be like His. He's given us a new appetite, new desires. And therefore, those who have been changed by the presence of God, we rejoice in doing His will. Because we now see and understand the blessing of living life God's way. Psalm 40, verse 8 says, "I delight to do your will, my God. Your instruction lives within me. Psalm 112:1 says, "Hallelujah! Happy is the man who fears the Lord, taking great delight in his commands." Psalm 119:14 says, "I rejoice in the rain revealed in your decrees as much as in all riches." Psalm 119:16 says, "I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word." You see the delight, the joy. Loving God through obedience is not just about external behavior. It's about a longing in our hearts to do His will. And we are grateful for what God did through Christ and how He delivered us from death. We're grateful that we were walking our own way, doing our own thing, and God stepped into our life and revealed to us that this is the way that leads to death. But I've got another way for you. Turn from that. Repent of your sin. Follow me in my way. I will deliver you. I will give you life. Life abundantly. I will pour out on you peace and joy. And my presence will be with you forever and ever.
Amen.
That is God working in your life. And so we are so thankful and grateful for what He did. We want to be obedient. It's not I have to. It's that I want to obedience because I truly love my King and my God and my Savior and my Father and my friend. Jesus has not come to condemn you. He's already taken, He's already experienced all that condemnation when He died for your sins on the cross. Jesus doesn't weigh us down with meaningless laws that don't affect our hearts. He gives us commands that reveal who God is, the heart of God, and direct our hearts toward Him. Jesus offers us an easy yoke, not the yoke of the Old Testament law. The burden He offers is light. It's not the heavy burden we carry in our flesh and sin. Jesus tells us, He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." His commandments are not burdensome. We want to obey Him because we love Him. In Christ, our hearts should be overwhelmed with love for God. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. This is the true mark of a follower of Christ. It doesn't mean that we're not going to fail. Does it mean that we're not going to fall? But we love Him because He first loved us. We desire to obey Him out of gratitude for saving our lives. We seek to obey Him because we love Him. We have been changed by Him. God wants to do amazing things in our lives. He wants to give us something worth so much more than what the world is offering us. But we must walk in His ways and follow Him faithfully. We see that all throughout Scripture. We even see that in some who are even here today. For those who have put their faith in Christ, those who are now born of God, they will have the true mark of love. Loving God, loving others. Their love will be revealed in their true desire and in their hearts to obey His word. And lastly, they are overcomers. Oh man, a follower of Christ overcomes the world. I love this passage. Verse 4 and 5. "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? If you're a child of God, just hearing this truth in this verse should greatly encourage your heart. It should bring great peace in your mind. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. In other words, everyone who has believed in Jesus and what He did for us on the cross, that He died and He rose from the grave, everyone who has acknowledged their sin, turned away from that, truly repented of it, sincerely in your heart, and you turned to God, and you've asked His forgiveness, and you've surrendered your life to Him. He's now Lord of your life. You surrendered Him. You're now born of God. He's adopted you as His child. You're born of the Spirit. You're forgiven. Through your faith in Christ, now the power of the world's desires and aspirations have been broken. And you've been given victory over them. You're a child of God. The world is no longer your passion. God and His kingdom are. John has already given us a description of the world back in chapter 2. two, the lust of the flesh, the pride, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And here, he reminds us of one of our spiritual weapons that grants us victory against the evil of this world, over spiritual darkness that we face. That is our faith. Faith is certainly a mark of those who call Christ. We learn from Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. See, in Ephesians 6, we see faith as part of our spiritual armor that helps us stand against the enemy. The shield of faith extinguishes all the flaming darts of the evil one in all circumstances. The lies of Satan and the world no longer have a hold on us. In Christ, we are overcomers. We have victory. We're no longer consumed with what we don't have. We're no longer consumed with what we do have. The shackles have been come loose. The blinders have been removed. And we no longer seek after the world's stuff. No matter what this world throws at us, no matter how bad in our minds things seem to be, we have the victory. We are overcomers. The whole point of the book of Revelation is that we are overcomers. It's to remind us that we are overcomers and we have overcome the world. That's what the Lord is about, reading through that. We have the victory. We know what's going to happen in the end. We don't have to worry. We don't have to be filled with fear. We don't have to listen to the lies of the world or Satan. We know the truth. It is our new birth that makes all this possible, and faith gives us the eyes to see it. That is faith in Christ and what He says. Faith is not simply saying that what God says is true. True faith is acting on what God says because it is true. You understand that? Faith is not simply saying that what God says is true. True faith is acting what God says because it is true. Victorious faith is a result of maturing love. See, the better we come to know and love Jesus, the easier it is to trust Him with all of our needs and all of the things that go on in our lives. John Piper sums it up well. He says, faith sees that Jesus is better. That is why faith conquers the world. The world held us in bondage by the power of its desires, but now our eyes have been opened by the new birth to see the superior desirability of Jesus. Jesus is better than the desires of the flesh. Jesus is better than the desires of the eyes. Jesus is better than the riches that strangle us with greed and pride. This is not some future reality. This is present tense. Because Jesus overcame the world, those in Christ will overcome the world as well. We're currently experiencing this victory, or we should be. Dr. Daniel Aiken says that daily victory is also granted to the individual believer, but they must exercise faith in Christ and be active in their pursuit of God. This is one of the many spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. There's no reason for a follower of Christ to walk through this world feeling defeated. Christ has won the victory. Romans 8:37. In all things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. In all things, everything that you can think of, everything you're going through, everything you will go through, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. In Christ, we are conquerors. We overcome. God has granted, God has granted, guaranteed your future reward in heaven. We have nothing to worry about. We need to take this time to think through these true marks of those who follow Christ here in this passage. Take time to listen to what God used John to speak into our lives. Take time to evaluate your heart. Maybe you're here today and you've never truly put your faith in Christ. You've never acknowledged your sin. You've never surrendered your life to Christ. And you've just kind of been living your life based on your own terms. Turn to Him this morning. Believe in Him. Love His name. Ask His forgiveness. Trust in Him. Entrust your life to Him this morning. And maybe you're here today, and you're born of God, but the Spirit has convicted you through this time about your love for God. And maybe your love for God is not what it should be. It might be that you need to get to know Him better. Spend more time with Him. Listen to His Word. Trust in Him this morning. His arms are wide open, filled with compassion. you in love. Receive his grace. Show him how much you love him. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And maybe you struggle to love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Not because you don't want to, but because you spend all your time in other things. Because you're not willing to look past your own interests to the interests of someone else. Or maybe you're weighed down by what is going on in the world right now. What the world is saying about your future. Because you're not taking time to look at God's truth. And remember that he's giving you victory. That you are an overcomer. That you can live your days filled with joy and peace. Because your present life is guarded and supported by God himself. And your future, it is guaranteed by God. Guaranteed. We can be secure in your salvation. Even when Satan brings those lies, even when we fall and we sin in some way, God is there offering us that halfway back. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's waiting as we repent and return. He's that Father with open arms, just waiting to take us back into his arms. His arms full of grace and mercy. He loves you. You need the Lord. And he's waiting for our responses. As the worship team comes, listen to what he has revealed to you this morning. And respond to him in love, which is shown in your obedience to him. Let's take this time to respond to what we've learned from 1 John here about the marks of those who truly follow Christ. Maybe we're lacking in one of these areas. God is faithful, and he wants to help us. He wants to help us overcome those things and walk faithfully to him. Walk in a manner that is worthy of him. Let's turn.